There was a great Rav by the name of Rav Yaakov Yosef HaKohen, known as the Bala Toldos. He was the Rav of a place called Polnoy. And in his city, there was someone there became engaged to get married. And the other side, there was a chassid and kabbalah, there was a bride and groom. The other side, there was a chassid of the tzaddik, the Baal Shem Tov. So the other father said, listen, I'm very happy our children get married, but, you know, I really want that my tzaddik, the great tzaddik of Baal Shem Tov, he should come and be Mesader Kedushin. He should be the one to be the rabbi to make the marriage happen, to do the ceremony. Are you okay with it? And they said, yeah, fine, no problem, okay, it's okay. And they wrote up the conditions, called the Tanoim, they wrote up the whole thing. Okay. So the chasna, the wedding, was supposed to happen in the city of Polnoy. And then one of the fathers thinking, you know, maybe I made a mistake to say right away, yes, your tzaddik can do it. Because in the city of Polnoy, there's a Rav who's in charge, the Yaakov Yosef HaKohen. He's the Rav in charge. And before I let someone else do something in a city, another Rav come and make a chasna or something, I should have asked him permission. And not only that, maybe if I have someone else, even if he's a tzaddik, someone else to make the kedushin, make the chasen happen inside his city, it'll be like maybe a little embarrassing for the Rav. Like, Rav, you're not good for us. We need to get someone else. I mean, imagine if there's, let's say, a teacher, a rabbi in a class, and then you say, you know what, maybe a different rabbi should come in and teach something. It's like, doesn't sound respectful. Like, what do you need someone else to come in? So he thought maybe he wasn't being respectful to his Rav. So he went over to the Rav, and he said, I'm so sorry, you know, maybe I shouldn't have agreed to let someone else in your city, Mesader Kedushin. Maybe I should tell him he can't, maybe I should even cancel everything, cancel the chasna. I'm so sorry if I wasn't respectful to you. But this Rav, Yaakov Yosef HaKohen, even though he was not a chassid Baal Shem Tov, and in fact, at the beginning, a lot of people, they even were against the way the Baal Shem Tov in the beginning. Even some very good people, they said, what is this? What is he doing? A new thing? And some people made up fake stories about the Baal Shem Tov. So in the beginning, he even was a little against. Said, I don't think you need to learn chassidus and do things the Baal Shem Tov says. But this Rav was a very good person, and he said, no, what? Chas v'shalom, don't stop a chasna. Mazel tov, they should be very, should be happy. It was from Shemaim. Listen, let the Baal Shem Tov make the Mesader Kedushin, let him do it. And I give you brachas, everything should be very good. Everything should be fine. He wasn't chas v'shalom selfish, thinking about himself. He said, no, it's okay, it's fine, I'm very happy they're going to get married. He wasn't just looking for his own respect. He was a very, okay, he had very good midas, Baruch Hashem, the Rav. Came the night of the chasna, of the wedding, and the Rav, daven ma'ariv, he prayed. Then he went to his room to study. And he thought, okay, I'll stay home. I don't need to go to the chasna and see the Baal Shem Tov there. I'm not a follower of Baal Shem Tov, and I don't agree with the way the derech, what he does. Well, I can stay home. I'll stay home and learn. He was in his house, and he was trying to learn Torah, which usually he does. He did every day. But for some reason, he couldn't concentrate that night. And in his mind, he was thinking, you know, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe Baal Shem Tov is really a tzaddik. Maybe I should go speak to him. If he came into town, I should actually at least go talk to him and, you know, learn with him a bit something, discuss with him. Maybe he is a great tzaddik. And he's like, nah, but what do you mean? You want to go to Baal Shem Tov and stop learning? You're a waste of time. He's having different thoughts back and forth in his head. So he said, nah, sit and learn, come on. He said, no, anyways, I'm not learning. Basically, sitting back and forth, should I go? Finally, he said, let me go. Well, let me go see. Who is this Baal Shem Tov everyone's talking about? So it was dark outside. He said, I could hide outside, look through the window, and no one's going to know that I came. I could secretly watch him and see what's happening. I don't need to walk inside. Everyone's going to see me there. So he came. The Rav went outside. It was dark. People couldn't see him. And he went outside the building, and there was an open window. So he went by the window to look inside. He said, it's dark outside. No one's going to see me. Okay. When he looked inside, he saw the Baal Shem Tov was speaking, and everyone's quiet listening. And the way the Baal Shem Tov was standing, the Baal Shem Tov's back was facing the window. So Baal Shem Tov couldn't see him. He was looking the other way. He said, perfect. Baal Shem Tov can't see me. No one's going to notice me here. Let me just listen. And as soon as he came to listen, all of a sudden he heard that the Baal Shem Tov was talking about him. He said, what? Talking about me? And he heard Baal Shem Tov telling everyone that you should know that your Rav, your Rabbi, is a very great, special person. He fears Hashem. He studies Torah. He has very good midos. He's very kind. He's an amazing, amazing person. But even a great person like him, there were two things that he made a mistake in. So now, he hears Baal Shem Tov talking about him. Okay, what's he going to say? Baal Shem Tov said the first thing that happened was in the week before Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol is the Shabbos before Pesach. And the Rav was supposed to teach a lot of halachas, teach everything, people how you act on Pesach, different halachas. So the Rav was very busy getting prepared for what to teach everyone, what to tell everyone. And his family members, they were all busy cleaning the house and cooking, I don't know what, getting ready for Pesach. So he wanted to sit and learn, but in his house it was very noisy from everyone running around. So he decided to go all the way upstairs to the attic, where there wasn't anybody there, would be quiet, and he could sit and learn. Okay. He went upstairs, and in the attic, it was very warm, it was kind of hot, and the Rav was getting thirsty. So he was getting very thirsty, and he did not want to disturb everyone. Everyone seemed so busy. So he said, okay, let me go outside and see if I can find some water. Now, back then, they didn't have, like nowadays, there's sinks in the house, just turn, and the water comes out, and there's all bottles of water and a lot of stuff. Then if you wanted water, you have to get from the well. And then they bring it to your house, and you leave in a bucket, and who knows what. But he went outside to see maybe someone's passing by who has water. And he soon saw someone walking fast, carrying two big buckets of water. So the Rav said, oh, excuse me, I'm very thirsty, can I have some water? And the water carrier said, I can't stop, I'm in a very big rush, and kept on going. And the Rav got upset. He said, wait, excuse me, I'm the Rav in town. You're supposed to show, where's your derech eretz, where's your respect? And you're carrying two big things of water. And I said, I'm very thirsty. And you can't even stop for me a minute and give me a little bit of water? That was very upset at him. But the guy just kept on going and left. So Baal Shem Tov said that really, this person carrying the two big buckets of water was a hidden tzaddik. And he was running to bring the water to other hidden tzaddikim, other very great people who are as great as the Rav, maybe even greater. And they were very thirsty. They needed the water right away. So really, the water carrier was right for not stopping. And the Rav, by being angry at him, even though the Rav didn't know he was a hidden tzaddik, the Rav made a mistake. So the Rav hears this story about himself, and he was shocked. How on earth did the Baal Shem Tov know that story? Does he have Ruach HaKodesh? Did Hashem tell him? Is he a big tzaddik? Is it, you know what? Maybe not. Maybe Baal Shem Tov is not a big tzaddik. Maybe the water carrier who was there, who saw it, maybe he told the Baal Shem Tov what happened. And that's how he knows. I'm not so sure if he's really a tzaddik. But a minute later, Baal Shem Tov started saying another story, and this time the Rav was really surprised. Wow, how did Baal Shem Tov know this? And the Baal Shem Tov continued and said that the second thing the Rav did wrong was on the night of Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the year, when we're sad over the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, the Holy Temple. And the Rav was in Shul, they read Eicha, and they were saying Kinnis, and the Rav was sitting on a low chair, and he was crying and crying over the fact that we're still in Galus, but we're in exile still, that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. He was davening very hard. He was asking Hashem to bring Mashiach, and he was davening, crying. He was crying so much that he got very tired and weak from crying, and his tears went all the way up to heaven, all the way up to Shemayim. And the Beis in Shemayim, the heavenly court, got together and said, look at this. You see this great person, this great Rav, he's crying so much, he's so sad that we don't have Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach's not here. You know what? Maybe we should just bring Mashiach already. We should say Mashiach should come, and that's it. You won't need to cry anymore. So they're about to give a verdict, give a psak. and said, yet Mashiach shall come, when all of a sudden there came a voice screaming, oh, wait a minute! Not so fast! Don't do that! Don't bring Mashiach now! What are you so impressed? That the Rav's crying! I can make him do a sin and aveira very easily! Just wait a bit! Wait a few minutes! Watch! I'll make him do something wrong! Can you guess who that voice was? The Satan, the Yitzhar Malach. Saying, no, don't bring Mashiach. I'll make him do something wrong. Watch. So I said, okay, fine. You want to try? See, make him do something wrong? Yeah, give me a few minutes. Watch this. And then the Yitzhar Malach, boom, I'm flying down to this world. All of a sudden, in the shul, in the synagogue where the Rav was, he saw someone dressed up like a scholar, a Talmud Chacham, holding an apple in his hand. And this person walked over to the Rav and said, excuse me, Rabbi, I see that you look very, very tired. And you look weak. You know, I think your life's in danger. And, you know, if your life's in danger, it's called Pekuach Nefesh, then you have to eat. You know, that'll put your life in danger. And the Rav hears this person coming over to him saying, you have to eat now, life's in danger. First, he just, like, ignored him. Like, my life's in danger, what? That really is the halacha, that if someone's life's in danger, even on Yom Kippur, they're allowed to eat if their life's in danger. For sure, Tisha B'Av. But the Yetzer Hara Malach, he was trying just to get the Rav to do something wrong. His life really wasn't in danger. He was trying to convince him. So he to get him to do something wrong. And the Rav just ignored him. But then this person there, who looks like a big scholar, is getting a bunch of deep, deep arguments. Saying more arguments, no, but I see you're sick. And it says in this Gemara, how sick you are, and I see in your eyes, and see this, and that Gemara, this Gemara. Basically, it's an Aveda not to eat. Da, 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 da. He's arguing. And the Rav's like, he was tired and weak, and like he's hearing back and forth this guy. And he's getting like a little confused. Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe no. Oh, maybe he's right. And when the Yitzhar Malach kind of dressed up like a person, saw that the Rav was like getting shaky, maybe yes, maybe no. See, more arguments. Until finally the Rav got convinced, okay, I guess my life's in danger probably, I should eat it. So he just took the apple from the Yitzhar Malach in his hand, and he made a bracha, Bari Priyetz, yeah? Made the whole nice bracha nice and clear. And as soon as he said the words of the bracha, somehow he's able to tell, he saw that it wasn't a person, it was the Yitzhar Malach. I don't know how, maybe the Yitzhar Malach, like his face changed and he showed who he was. And the Rav realized it was a trap. The Yitzhar Malach came to trick him, to get him to eat this apple, make a bracha, whatever. And the Rav was so upset, he threw the apple, and he said, be gone, you tameh, you impure one. And at that second, this person, really Yitzhar Malach, and the apple both disappeared in the thin air. And the Rav realized, oh, wait a second, it was a trick. Even though he didn't eat the apple, but there's something else he did wrong. He made, what? That's right. He made a bracha v'tal, a bracha for no reason. Now, we know to make a bracha to Hashem, a blessing before we eat something, is very important. And it says like, if someone takes food and doesn't make a bracha and just eats it, it's like stealing from Hashem, kind of taking something that's holy from Hashem, that belongs to Hashem, and not without asking permission. We're supposed to have to say a bracha and bless Hashem before we eat something. So saying a bracha is very important. There's also something important that we're not supposed to make brachas for no reason also. Now, if someone at a young age, by accident made a wrong bracha, I don't think you have to be sad like the Rav did in this story. In this story, because he made a wrong bracha, something not good happened, but I don't think children have to be that worried. It says that Hashem loves the Jewish children so much that even if they daven and say the wrong words in the middle of davening, which like instead of saying v'yahafta, you'll love Hashem, they say like the opposite by accident, Hashem still loves them. Imagine a little child in the house, and instead of asking their mommy and tati for supper properly, they say the wrong word by accident. Or you think mommy and tati are angry at you? Why do you say the wrong word? Mommy and tati still, their parents still love children. That's just how Hashem made the world. And Hashem loves every Jew, and especially the Jewish children, more than anything we could possibly imagine. So even if a child makes a mistake, I wouldn't be too worried. We try to make sure that we say the right bracha, we try to say the right words in davening. It's very important to say a bracha before we eat, to thank Hashem. We try to do the right thing, and Hashem takes care of us. But in this story, this Rav was such a great person, and the Yetzer Hara was worked so hard to trick him, then you'll see something not going to happen because he said the wrong bracha. So the Rav realized that he made the wrong bracha by accident. It was a trick from the Yetzer Hara. And he was crying away again. He was crying and crying until he finally fell asleep. When he fell asleep, he had a very weird dream. In his dream, he was walking around the city, and he came to the outside, the outer part of his city, and he saw there a big, what's called an apple orchard, a place with a bunch of apple trees and apples. And he was thinking, this is weird. I walked here a lot of different times, and I recognize this place, but all these trees and apples, they were never here. How did they get here? So when he came close, he saw there was a guard by the gate, and he said, "Who's apple? Who do these belong to, all these apple trees?" And the guard said, "These belong to the Rav, the rabbi of the city." And he said, "What? I'm the rabbi of the city. They don't belong to me. I don't have them." And the guard gave like a bitter, like a smile, a sad smile, and said, "Yeah, I know who you are. All these apple trees, they're actually yours. You see, everything here that you see belongs to this what's called the Sitra Achra, the bad side. The side that's not pure. And just like when we make a bracha the right way, a good blessing, it makes angels that go up to Shemalachim, that go up to Shemaim, go up to heaven. When we do something wrong or make a wrong bracha, it makes not good angels. So they tricked you to say the bracha the wrong way, and from your bracha that was for the wrong reason, you said a bracha eight, and you weren't supposed to, that created all these apple trees. So these belong to you. They belong to like the bad side, but they're yours. And me, I also did something wrong." He didn't say what he did wrong. "The Yetzer Hara tricked me to do Dunaveda. So I got stuck and I have to be the guard. I have to help him now because I did something wrong." You see, the Yetzer Hara is so super tricky and meany. He comes in all different ways to try to trick someone to Dunaveda. Yeah? He'll tell someone, Chas Hashem, to steal something. "No one's watching," he says. Yeah, he tries to make someone forget Hashem's watching. "Or just say a lie, no one's going to know." He tries to trick someone, Chas Hashem, do something wrong. And then after he tricks them, he says, "Ha, you see? Now you're mine. You listen to me. Listen to me again." He tries to trap them to do more and more not good things. So we try never to listen to him the first time. But if someone Chas Hashem does get caught, we have to do tshuva. Hashem always gives us a chance to fix up somehow. And if you don't know how, you can ask someone, ask a rabbi, a parent, someone how to do tshuva. There's always ways to fix up. But the Yetzer Hara is so super tricky. And this guard said, "I'm stuck here. I have to be the guard for this." So the Rav was all shaken up. And he said, "Is there any way I could fix up what I did wrong? All these apples now belong to Yetzer Hara because of me? Like, they're mine, the Yetzer Hara, together somehow?" And this guard said, "Yes. There's one thing you could do to fix up. Is if you will say the entire Tehillim with the right thoughts, saying it properly with your whole heart, then you will be shown from Shemaim, from heaven, they'll show you that all these apples and apple trees and everything, they're all going to die and all the trees will fall apart and be destroyed. When you see the trees upside down, that means you totally fixed up what you did wrong." So after this guard told him that, the Rav woke up from his dream. And he realized it wasn't just a simple dream. So after Tisha B'Av was over, the whole fast was over, the Rav Daven Ma'ariv, but before eating anything, he went to his room and he said, "I'm going to say Tehillim and try to fix up what I did wrong and Daven Hashem, please forgive me and get rid of these apple trees that belong on the wrong side, the Yetzer Hara." So he started saying with his whole heart the Tehillim is, and going on and on. And Tehillim has five books to it. There's five Sfarim of Tehillim. When he finished the first Sefer, he saw like a vision in front of him, like dreaming, but like when he's awake. Kind of like seeing a video. He saw in front of him that all these apple trees, and the apples fell off the trees. Meaning like, oh, the apples are gone from the trees. Like it got weaker. It's not as strong what the Yetzer Hara has. Then he continued, and when he finished the second book of Tehillim, he saw in his vision that the leaves on these trees fell off and blew away. When he finished the third book, he saw that the small branches broke off. And when he finished the fourth book, the big branches broke off. When he finished the fifth one, he saw that the trees fell over, were out of the ground, and were lying sideways. But they were not upside down. They were sideways. So the Rav was upset and said, wait, they have to be upside down, not just sideways. So the Baal Shem Tov is saying over this whole story and said, your Rav since then has always been saying Tillim and Davening and trying to fix up what he did wrong. But every time he says Tillim, he sees the tree sideways, not upside down. So all of a sudden, when the Rav hears this, he's thinking, how on earth did Baal Shem Tov know that? No one could have told him. What I saw in my dream, and what I saw like a vision after saying Tillim, it must be the Baal Shem Tov is a big tzaddik. Okay, I should speak to him, I should talk to him. So right then, Baal Shem Tov turned around, looked out the window, exactly where the Rav was, and said, Rav Yosef Yitzchak HaKohen, if you want to fix up your tshuva and see the tree is upside down, you have to come to me. I'll help you. So then the Rav came to Baal Shem Tov and became a Talmud, a student of Baal Shem Tov, after that.